Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. Excuse me, soda of the podcast. We did one of their sodas back in March, and then we did another one in February, and I figured we had to do another one since so many people rave about them. So tonight we went with the green apple soda from Jones Soda, and I'm not gonna lie, I like it. Excuse me, I like it, and this is coming from somebody who has always kind of typically not been a apple, like, flavor guy. Like, you know, who doesn't like apple juice? But when it comes to apple pop or apple things, or especially green apple, I kind of try to keep at least the arm distance away, if not more. But I think this is something I could get behind. Excuse me. It's got a little bit of a tartness to it. I apologize for the congestion in this podcast. I have to say, Jones has a lot of different stuff they got, and everything, but I have to say, this might be, if it's not, you know, necessarily eight or nine worthy, but between the three, this probably has to be my favorite. I remember the cream soda one, it wasn't good, and the berry lemonade, I thought it was okay, but didn't like that there really wasn't much lemonade in it, so I will have to say, so far, this one is probably my favorite. Yeah, we've talked about beers and flavor and stuff like that on this, and I typically don't like tart things, and it's not very tart. It's kind of like a smooth tart aftertaste. To me, it's a little subtle, too. I really like it. I'm going to go 7.3. Again, nothing that's really blowing me out of the water. But I do like it. And like I said, out of the three we've done so far, I really do enjoy it. And yet, like I mentioned before, once again, Jones Soda Co. I know is not a Minnesota-based company. But been trying to do a good job of, making you guys aware of, very carbonated, by the way, of a lot of different, soda options and everything out there. So jonessoda.com. You can also find them on, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, jonessoda.com. Actually, since the last time we've been on here, they actually have some new stuff. So they have this new limited, or I don't know if it's a limited time, but this new soda out. It's called Nuka Victory Cola. Definitely going to have to cop one of those and try those out for you guys. If you've already done it, let me know. They have the Jones Craft Dog Soda. There's three different ones that have come out for that, which is kind of cool. And then they have this cool thing they're doing. It's called Caps for Gear. So you buy Jones Soda, you save your caps, and you get your gear. So essentially what it boils down to is, as you've collected your caps, what you're going to do is you're going to send them back and to them. And you're gonna pick out some stuff really quickly. 20 of them gets you an accessory pouch, 25 gets you a t-shirt, 40 gets you a camp enamel cup, 50 gets you a pet bowl, 60 gets you a Jones full zip hoodie, 85 you can get a free 12 mix My Jones pack, which I think I'm gonna start saving up for that. And then 11 will actually get you a Jones skateboard, which is really cool. So yeah, like I said, a lot of cool stuff they're doing. I urge you guys to go check them out. JonesSoda.com and Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. So with that, that just about wraps that up for, excuse me, Tommytown. Not a whole lot. Excuse me, not a lot going on with regards to the Tommies. But there was an article that came out a week ago from tonight about the Tommies signing, the Tommy hockey team, men's hockey team, signing somebody. So on the 18th, it was announced that the St. Thomas men's hockey team was excited to announce its newest member, Klaus Frederick from Golden Valley, Minnesota. The Tommies partnering with Team Impact. Klaus joined the Tommies before the beginning of last season, before actually signing to become an official member of the St. Thomas Athletics family on the back on the 18th. Klaus is a lifelong avid hockey fan and actively plays adaptive floor hockey through the Minnesota Wild and the Hendrickson Foundation. Klaus is a 17-year-old boy from Golden Valley who has been battling AXT at AXT telegenasty AT, and is also known as Lewis-Barre syndrome since birth, and has lived with this his entire life, which I can't imagine how difficult that must be. But with an infectious positive personality and a free spirit, he fits the team culture perfectly with his determination, humor, and courage. Since joining the men's hockey team in October of 2023, he's been in the building for the Tommies. Toppling of St. Cloud State has seen countless home games at the St. Thomas Ice Arena and participated in a practice during the second half of last season, which is awesome. Rico Blasi actually had to say, "Klaus has already been with us one season, and the impact he has made on our team culture is sizable. We are pleased to make him this official today for next season." So really, really cool. A little more on it. Team Impact's a unique multi-year program signs children facing serious illnesses and disabilities onto college athletic teams across the country based on clinical model. Team Impact guides a symbiotic relationship between teams and children focused on socialization, empowerment, and resilience, ensuring everyone involved has the personalized game plan they need to win, effectively building confidence and independence. Impact was founded in 2011 and has matched more than 2,300 children with 700 plus colleges and universities in 49 different states, impacting more than 60,000 student athletes. So if you know any child or team that may be interested, go ahead and visit www.teamimpact.org. And I mean, couldn't say anything more about this. Really, really awesome on both sides. I'm definitely gonna have to get out to a game next year and see everything. And yeah, really, really nice to see stories like this. And I'm sure Klaus is having the time of his life. So yeah, congratulations to everybody involved. And that's pretty much all we have for you guys as far as Tommytown is concerned. Obviously, we're thinking about the football team as it is the night of the NFL draft, but we still got about 125 days, 126 days until the season gets underway. But who's counting? So yeah, with it, we will move on to one of my favorite segments that we do on this podcast. So that, ladies and gentlemen, was Singing Along by none other than Minnesota's own and White Bear Lake native Brendan Bonin. Yes, that is the same Brendan Bonin that we had on the podcast 2 years ago, and couldn't be happier for him. That is one of 10 songs that just came out earlier in the month, actually on the 12th. On his first full-length 10-song album titled BBX, the Brendan Bonin Experience. For those that don't know, this is actually not his first project. Brendan, 2 years ago, almost to the date, released his first 6-song EP titled Going Places. So, yeah, it's a big deal. 16 songs in 2 years, obviously still very, very early in his career. But I gotta say, ladies and gentlemen, this man has a way with his lyrics. I've heard him sing and play guitar in person, and it really is something to hear. So yeah, needless to say, the local business shout out of the day is local artist Brendan Bonin. Like I said, you can hear that song we just played for you. It's called Singing Along. And once again, you can find it on the BBX, the Brendan Bonin Experience album, available on Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you listen to your music. And if you want to know more information, please reach out. I checked with him recently. Don't believe he has any social media. You can look him up on Instagram, like on his personal page, Brendan Bonin. But other than that, I think he's working on getting some stuff up. So for those that are interested, yes, stay tuned. And let me know. You can, yes, like I said, you can find him on Instagram, Brendan Bonin. Yeah, super excited. We're going to try to have him on the podcast here this summer as well. And is also a fellow Tommy. So pretty cool stuff there. So on to our professional sports. Unfortunately, no real news on the Wild. I obviously kind of forgot coming into this podcast that this is our first. Last week we didn't have your typical weekly podcast, as we were doing our previews and predictions for the playoffs. So they actually were in action since the last time we were on our weekly podcast. And after being mathematically eliminated, they kind of stumbled into the the final four games, obviously with the Golden Knights putting up a touchdown against them back on the 12th, losing 7-2, which is just insane. And then the very next night going into San Jose and putting up 6 goals, winning there. And then they were able to, 2 nights later, to wrap up their road games, beat an LA Kings team that was fighting for playoff positioning 3-1, and then lost a close one to the Kraken 4-3 on the season finale. So yeah, that's pretty much what we have for the Wild. And really, really unfortunate. Kirill Kaprizov would go on to lead the team with 96 points and 46 goals. He was one of four players with 50 points or more right behind, or I shouldn't say right behind him. The next person was Matt Boldy with 69 points. Joel Eriksson Ek had 64. And Matt Zuccarello had 63. And then Brock Faber had 47 to round out the top five. And then for goals, like I said, Kirill Kaprizov had 46. Joel Eriksson Ek had 30. Boldy finished with 29. Hartman and Rossi both finished with 20 to round out the top five. But then Zuccarello with 12, Marcus Johansson with 11, and Foligno and Connor Dewar all, Johansson had 11, and Foligno and Connor Dewar both had 10. So to be able to have, what's that, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players with 10 or more goals is pretty exceptional. It's unfortunate. And then, yeah, I mean, you even look at the points, you know, to have four players 50 points or more, 740 or more, is amazing. But you know, obviously the Wild kind of shot themselves in the foot one too many times in the middle of the season, and just couldn't really get much going from there. So, so that's pretty much all we have for the Wild. Kind of an update on the playoffs. Still very early. Earlier tonight, both the Panthers and Hurricanes won on the road, taking a commanding 3-0 lead. The Panthers are now up 3-0 on the Lightning, while the Hurricanes are up 3-0 on the Islanders. Both teams have an opportunity to close out things as early as Saturday, the 27th. It'll be really unbelievable if they can do that. The Panthers have been led by Matthew Tkachuk, who and Connor Verhaeghe, who both have 5 points through the first 3 games. Tkachuk and Verhaeghe are also combined for, 5 of their 11 goals. So really, really awesome to see them doing well, especially since I picked them, but didn't think it was going to be this dominant. For the Carolina Hurricanes, 3 games in, they are currently being led by, Andrei Svechnikov, who has 4 points, but still has yet to register a goal. Sebastian Aho is the only skater with multiple goals already, with 2. For the Islanders, they're really just doing a good job of, locking down on defense. They only allowed 1 goal in game 1, and then in game 2, they actually came back from being down 3-1 with like 10 minutes to go in the period to rattle off 4 straight goals and win 5-3. Now we're up 3-0, and then in the other, what would that be, 5 games to wrap up the Eastern Conference. Tomorrow, the Capitals will be hosting the Rangers, who are currently in a 2-0 hole, as the Rangers are up 2-0. The last series is in the Eastern Conference is the Bruins and Maple Leafs, who game 4 will be on Saturday, the 27th, as well. And the Maple Leafs at home will look to tie things up at 2 games apiece. So that should be an interesting weekend. And then in the Western Conference, we got, weirdly enough, the Canucks and Predators, who are tied 1-1. I really didn't think, when we talked about this, I really didn't think the Canucks playoff inexperience was going to play a factor, but clearly, a little bit there. And then both the Jets and Avalanche are tied at a game apiece, and the Oilers and Kings are tied at a game apiece. The only series in which it's not currently tied 1-1 is Vegas and Dallas, which is going the opposite way I thought it would go. heading into Vegas. Yes, heading into Vegas, I just want to make sure. The Vegas Golden Knights, defending champions, are up 2 games to nothing over the Dallas Stars after beating them, excuse me, after beating them 4-3 in game one and then 3-1 just last night. So it'll be very, very interesting to see how the rest of the excuse me, the rest of the playoffs go, and yeah, should be fun. As for our Minnesota Timberwolves, lots of good things to like. Obviously the way they lost that final game of the season against the Suns sucked, and it really made people think, how good is this Minnesota team really, and made them doubt us. And we're actually one of only two teams ranked 1 through 4 in the Western and Eastern Conference to be an underdog in their series, which is just amazing. And they took that and ran with a 25-point win in game, commanding win in game one. And then just 2 nights ago, beat the Suns by 12 and are going into game three in Phoenix tomorrow night for with a 2-0 lead. And fun fact, a good friend of the podcast actually let me know, between the four major sports, football, NFL, NBA, NHL, and baseball, this is only the fourth time in Minnesota sports history before between those four teams where a Minnesota team has a 2-0 lead. And look, I love it. I love it for a lot of reasons. One, they always say it's never a series until the away team loses. But also because even if you're head and shoulders the better team, there is an astronomical better chance of the worst team coming back and winning in a best of seven series down 2-0, because at this point you're essentially telling the Phoenix Suns, okay, you have five more games, you need to win four of those five games to advance. Regardless of the fact that they haven't lost at home yet, it's going to be a daunting task for the Suns. And I really do believe this game three is going to be very important in this series, because I think if the Timberwolves are able to beat the Suns in game three, then it'll solidify, this is no joke, we're not only a good team, but we're locking down defensively and we are the superior team. And I think with that, should we win on Friday, we will win on Sunday as well and sweep them. They might get lucky and get a game in. But if the Suns are able to at least get one win, this game will go 6 or 7. 6 or 7 games, because it'll show that, the Suns are able to adapt and all that stuff. And I mean, geez, one of the things I remember talking about before this series started was Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are at average 27 points in wins and losses. So don't worry about, them too much. Make sure their supporting cast isn't going off. And we're doing a great job of getting taken care of every excuse me, everybody. Devin Booker's not even averaging 25 points a game. Devin Booker's only averaging 19 a game, and Bradley Beal is averaging 14.5. So this is, unreal. I'm assuming, I shouldn't assume anything, but for people that don't know, in game one, the Wolves but were led by a huge game from Anthony Edwards, who shot a little bit over 50% from the floor, making 33 points, finishing with 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Then in game two, believe it or not, the Timberwolves were able to get that 12-point win, with Karl-Anthony Towns finishing 3 for 7 from the floor and Anthony Edwards finishing 3 from 13 from the floor. How was that, you ask? Jaden McDaniels shot 10 from 17 from the floor with 25 points. Rudy Gobert was 6 of 8 from the floor with 9 boards and 18 points. And Mike Conley had 18 points, and splashed in a 3 3-pointers. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had some big shots for us as well, but more than anything, this defense is just stifling. We are forcing turnovers, we're forcing Phoenix into bad, tough shots, and watching this series just makes me super, super excited. So, next week we will have a lot more to talk about. Excuse me, as we could have as many as three games to talk about, and could be talking during the sixth game. So, all good things on the Timberwolves front, and yeah, I can't wait for tomorrow night's game to see how this series shakes out. And then for the final topic of the night, the NFL draft. So we're actually not going to get super super into it tonight, as a good friend will actually be coming on the podcast next week to do a 2024 NFL draft recap podcast. So we'll talk in more specifics then. We're just gonna kind of maybe talk a little bit on a base level, but if there's one thing I want to say without diving too into it now, and leaving more for us to talk about next week. Overall, I'm happy with how the draft for us has gone so far, and I would say I'm still trying to get better. Still trying to get better for you guys. I would say if I had to give it a grade so far, I would probably give us a B minus. I really like that we got JJ. Wasn't really sure until I read a little bit more into it why we traded up just one pick to get him. We'll get more into that next weekend. And then overall, I mean, talent-wise, within the first 17 picks, the Vikings were able to get two of the top 25 most talented players in this draft. One was a quarterback, and one was a defensive lineman. So, all things considered, it's been a pretty successful first night. And then I looked this up for myself, and I thought I'd let you guys know as well too. So tonight, the first round is wrapping up here. Got a couple more picks to go, and only round one goes on the first night. Tomorrow, April 25th, rounds 2 and 3. Excuse me, we'll get what is it? Oh gosh. They will get underway 2 and 3 starting at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, and then rounds 4 through 7 will commence on Saturday starting at noon to conclude the draft by the end of the night. So anybody that is interested in that, and then hold the phone. I totally forgot huge congratulations. So far they have already announced the Kia Most Improved Player of the Year. Excuse me. And Most Improved and Sixth Man of the Year. Most Improved Tyrese Maxey, the fourth year guard, set career highs in 25.9 points per game, 6.2 assists per game, and 1 steal per game. So a huge congratulations to him on that. But more importantly, it was announced this last week, Sixth Man of the Year was our boy Naz Reid, and I could not be happier for him. He averaged career highs of 13.5 points and 5.2 rebounds per game in 81 games played. He played forward first, he played center, he came up big off the bench, and it was just amazing. Looks like Reid got 45 first place votes to 43 for Malik Monk from a panel of 99 reporters, broadcasters who cover the league. So Naz Reid won with a total of 352 votes, and Malik Monk was right behind with 342. And that's kind of the sense I got. It was essentially going to come down to Naz Reid or Malik Monk. Because then Bobby Portis Jr., who was the third finalist, had 81 points. And then Norman Powell from the Clippers, Bogdan, got a couple of votes. And then Jose Alvarado got a couple of votes as well. So, yes, before, I totally forgot that when I was talking about the Timberwolves there. But yes, a huge, huge, huge congratulations to him. I hope he continues to come up big. I mean, excuse me, just in the first two games, game one, both coming off the bench, Naz Reid came off the bench and in 19 minutes, shot 4 of 10 from the floor, finishing with 12 points. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal, and was we were plus 22 on the floor, he was plus 22 when he was on the floor, and then game 2 also played a role for us, playing in 17 minutes. He didn't have a great shooting night. He was 1 for 5 from the floor, finished with 5 points, 2 rebounds. He was actually even plus or minus. But, so, you know, he didn't end up, you know, stat-wise, didn't play as good of a game in game 2 versus game 1. But the bottom line is he's a big body. I like when we put him on KD a little bit more than when we have Karl-Anthony Towns on him. Karl-Anthony Towns needs to chill the F out with these fouls. He's almost as bad as Devin Booker, but don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But yeah, like I said, a lot of things on the up and up. Super excited to, you know, see what else the Vikings can do in the draft here. Super excited to see the Timberwolves hopefully kick some butt tonight. And then I am all over the place. I apologize. I really didn't give you guys for the NBA playoffs. Both the Magic and the Sixers won earlier tonight, defending home court, and both are now behind in the series 2-1 instead of 2-0. And then unfortunately the Lakers right now are losing to the Denver Nuggets in the third quarter, and I gotta say they gotta find a way to finish this game and win it, or else they will be done in 4 games. As much as it pains me to admit, I mean I had the Nuggets advancing, but these first 2 games the Lakers could have and frankly should have won. They led for the entire second half up until the last couple minutes, and then poor shooting mistakes, you know, turnovers and stuff like that let the Nuggets just get right back in it. So if the Nuggets hold on for a commanding 3-0 lead in this series, the Nuggets are going to sweep them, unfortunately, and then LeBron's going to be stuck with, what do I do now? So that's the update on those 3 games. And then for in the Western Conference, the Thunder are currently up on the Pelicans 2-0. Clippers and Mavs heading into game 3 are tied 1-1. Wolves are obviously up 2-0. And like I said, Denver's looking to take that commanding 3-0 lead. Meanwhile, in the Eastern Conference, Celtics and Heat and Bucks and Pacers are both tied at 2-0. And then, like I said a minute ago, the Cavs have a 2-1 series lead over the Magic, while the Knicks have a 2-1 series lead over the 76ers. And really hope those last two series turn around, as I had both of those teams advancing. So yeah, with that, I will leave you guys with, remember, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you'd like me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are at miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's miniweekend@gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, Mini.